Chapter 54. Now only Gishalav, a small city in Galilee, remained unsubdued. Indeed, its multitude was inclined to peace, for they were also primarily agricultural laborers, and whose entire hopes always depended on the fruits of the earth. But they had been afflicted by the invasion of numerous legions of brigands, from whom some members of the polity had caught the sickness. Now it was Yohanan, son of Levi, who had incited them to rebel and organize them for this purpose. He was a charlatan and had a multicolored character. Indeed, he was always ready to indulge in great hopes, but was an adept in bringing these hopes to realization. Now everyone knew that he was fond of the war in order to attain domination for himself. Under him, the Gishalav insurgents marshaled themselves. And it was through their influence that the populace, who would otherwise probably have sent elders offering to surrender, now awaited the approach of the Roman war. Now to meet with these insurgents, Vespasianus indeed dispatched Titus with 1,000 cavalry, but he dismissed the 10th Legion to Scuthopolis. But he himself, along with the 2 remaining legions, returned to Caesarea, both in order to refresh them after their incessant toil, and with the idea that the prosperity of the cities would both invigorate their bodies and impart fresh alacrity for future struggles. For he foresaw that great hardship was in store for them around Jerusalem, seeing that it was not only the royal city and the capital of the whole nation, but the rendezvous to which all fugitives had flocked from the war. Yet truly, the strength of its walls, both natural and artificial, caused him serious agony. But he conjectured that the manliness and boldness of its defenders would, even without walls, make it a difficult task to subdue them. For this reason, he trained his soldiers like athletes for the undertaking. Now Titus, as he rode up to Gishalav, indeed saw that the city might easily be taken by assault. But he knew that if it were taken by storm, the multitude would be utterly destroyed by the soldiers. Now, he was already satiated with murder and pitied the majority who would be destroyed without distinction, together with the criminals. So he preferred to induce the city to surrender to his terms. And when he found the wall crowded with men, mainly of the corrupted legion, he declared to them,
"On what are you depending, I wonder, since you alone have dared to stand out to face the Roman weapons, when every other city has been taken? Especially when you have seen cities far stronger than your own overthrown by a single assault, while beholding the secure enjoyment of the possessions of everyone who has entrusted themselves to the pledges offered by the Romans' right hands, which I now extended to you without vindictive regard for your former obstinacy. for hopes of freedom are pardonable. However, there is no excuse for remaining in opposition under impossible conditions. For, should you decline my humane proposals and right hands for security, you will experience the relentlessness of my weapons and learn all too soon that your walls are a mere plaything for the Roman machines. Because of your dependence on these walls, you alone of all the Galileans are displaying the obstinacy of prisoners.
Indeed, not one of the populace dared to reply to this speech. Instead, they were not even allowed to mount the wall. For its entirety had already been occupied by the brigands, and guards had been posted at the gates in order to prevent the rest from leaving to make terms, as well as preventing any of the cavalry from being admitted into the city. But it was Yohanan who replied, declaring,
"I, for my part, consent to these proposals, and I will either persuade or coerce obstinate opponents. However, you, Titus, in deference to the Judean law, must permit us to celebrate this day, for it is the seventh day on which we are forbidden not only to resort to arms, but even to conclude a treaty of peace. Now, even you Romans are aware that the recurrence of the seventh day brings us repose from all labor. And the man who compels us to transgress this law is no less impious than those who are compelled to transgress it. But indeed, this delay can cause you no injury. For what counsel can be taken to do anything in a single night, except for flight, which you could completely prevent by encamping around the city? Now there will be great gain for you if you spare us from transgressing our national customs. But as the gracious bestower of an unexpected peace, the proper thing for you to do would be to watch over the laws as well as the salvation of your beneficiaries."
By such means, Yohanan managed to trick Titus. For Yohanan was not so much concerned about the seventh day as he was for his own salvation. But being anxious that he would be caught the instant the city was taken, he rested his hopes of life on fleeing during the night. Now this was by the act of God, who was saving Yohanan in order to bring ruin upon Jerusalem. That Titus was not only influenced by this pretext for delay, but instead even encamped farther from the city at Kadesh. Now this strong inland village of the Tyrians always had hatred and war against the Galileans, having both a multitude of inhabitants and stout defenses as resources behind it in its quarrel with the nation. Now during the night, when Yohanan saw no Roman guard about the city, he seized his opportunity. And accompanied not only by his heavy armed followers, but instead even by a huge number of non-combatants together with their families, he fled for Jerusalem. Therefore, indeed, although for the first 20 stadia, the man succeeded in dragging with him this crowd of women and children, he was goaded with fears of captivity and of losing his life. But after that point, he pushed on, leaving them behind and terrifying were the lamentations of those whom he deserted. For the farther each one was removed from his comrades, the nearer he believed himself to his foes. Also, believing that their captors were already upon them, they were panic-stricken and turned at every sound made by their own comrades in flight, under the impression that their pursuers had overtaken them. Many of them strayed off the track, and on the highway, many were crushed in the struggle to keep ahead. But pitiable was the destruction of the women and children. And some of them boldly called either their husbands or relatives to return, imploring them with lamentations to wait for them. Instead, Yohanan's orders prevailed.
"Save yourselves,"
he cried,
"and flee to where you can have your revenge on the Romans if any who are left behind are caught by them."
Therefore, indeed, this multitude of fugitives straggled away, each one exerting the best strength and speed they had. Now the next day, Titos came to the wall to conclude the treaty. But the gates were opened to him by the populace, and they came out to him with their women and children, hailing him as benefactor and the deliverer of their city from bondage. For they proceeded to inform him about Yohanan's flight, and besought him both to spare them and to enter the city and punish the revolutionaries who remained. But Titos, regarding the populace's petitions as of secondary importance, at once dispatched a squadron of cavalry in pursuit of Yohanan. Indeed, they were unable to overtake him, for the fugitive had made a successful escape to Jerusalem. But of his fleeing companions, they indeed killed 6,000, but rounded up and brought back nearly 3,000 women and little ones. Now Titos was indeed mortified at failing to instantly wreak vengeance upon Yohanan's trickery. But with this multitude of prisoners and those who had been utterly destroyed as a sufficient solace to his failed fury, he now entered the city amidst common acclamations. And after directing his soldiers to pull down a small portion of the wall as a token of capture, he proceeded to repress the disturbers of the city's peace by threats rather than by punishment. For he thought that if he attempted to distinguish the offenders who deserved retribution, many, out of private hatred and personal quarrels, would inform against the guiltless. Now he thought it was better to leave the criminals in suspense and fear than to destroy them together with those who did not deserve it. For indeed, the sinner might even learn wisdom through anxiety of chastisement and respect for the pardon granted to him for past offenses. Whereas retributions unjustly inflicted could never be corrected. However, he secured the city by placing a garrison within, calculated both to restrain the revolutionaries and to give confidence to those who had minds toward peace after he had left. Therefore, this was indeed how Galilee was entirely subdued. After affording the Romans a strenuous training for the impending Jerusalem expedition.